So we have been learning the sugya of bitsua, of pshara. If you remember, we saw machloikas. Some say we're going to discuss this further in the Gemara. We're going to see more details of Mitzvah Hashem. But at the top of the Amud, we saw the shita of Rebbe Lozer. Rebbe Lozer says it's osa to be boitzea, to make a compromise. Later on, we saw in the opinion of Reb Yeshua ben Korcho, who said to the contrary, it's a mitzvah to make a compromise. Again, we'll see later on more details of that as well. And then we saw the opinion on the medium length lines of Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon ben Manasseh says that it depends. Once you've heard the various claims of the two sides and you know in which direction the psak is leaning, after that you can no longer call for a pshara. Those are the opinions that we've seen so far. Now, if you remember, just before the first very wide line, just before the first very wide line, the Gemara brought a pasuk, and it's worth reviewing this briefly because we're going to quote this pasuk a number of times now with all various different connotations. On just before the very first wide line, that brings a pasuk in Mishlei, Poiter Mayim Reishis Modoin. So for the moment, we are concentrating on the second part of the Pasuk, although later on we'll see we're going to focus more on the first half. But in the second half of the Pasuk, when it says Hisgala Riv, when the Machloikas becomes Nisgala, what does it mean becomes Nisgala? So in our context, we understand it to mean the Dayan has heard the two sides, and he knows in which direction it's leaning, so it's become Nisgala. So at that point, it's no longer notush, it's no longer appropriate to abandon them. You've got to listen to the judgment and to the two cases properly and judge, and you cannot call for a pshara. And that's what the Gemara says. Koidem shenisgale horiv, on the first very wide line. Before the riv becomes nisgale, riv is an argument. Ata yochel lenotshe, then you can still leave it and say, finish, just sort it out yourself. But mishen nisgale horiv, once, however, the riv becomes nisgale, meaning the dayan, even though he hasn't come to a final psak, but he seems to know, he gets a feel of which direction this is heading in. At that point, e ato yochel lenatsho, then you can't now abandon it and say, call for a compromise. Rather, you've got to come to a final psak. That's all we saw yesterday. Now we carry on with Rish Lakish.
Quick question, Rabbi. Where do you see in the lesson of the Gemara that he already knows what direction it's going in? It just says Mizgala. He understands the dispute.
That was the line before. The one says,
so then why does it come out again and repeat Mizgala?
Because we're just learning it now from the Pasuk. First, the Gemara said Adin, and now we're saying how we see it in the Pasuk. Veresh Lakish Omar. We're now towards the end of the first very wide line. Veresh Lakish Omar. Shnayim Shebo'u Ledin. Two people who come to a din, meaning they come to a dayan to adjudicate for them. Echod Rach, ve'echod Kosher. One of them is soft nature, and one of them is Kosher, a tough nature, difficult personality. Ad Sheloi Tishma Divrehen. As long as you have not heard their claims, they've just walked into Bezin, and you know them, for example, or you recognize, or you could see that one of them is a very edel, softer personality, and one is as tough as nails. So as long as you have not heard Divreya and you have not heard their various claims, number one. Oh, alternatively, Mishatishma Divrayan. Alternatively, you have heard their claims, but again, like we said before, V'iatoyoidea leheichon din noita. But you don't at this stage know in which direction this is going to go. So the two people both stake their claim. At the moment, either way sounds perfectly feasible. You haven't yet come to a conclusion. At that point, you are entitled as the dayon to say to them, sorry, ein ani Nizkak lochem, quote unquote. I'm not attending to this case. Meaning the very fact that they turn up in Bezdin does not halachically require you to adjudicate. You're allowed to say, sorry, I would rather not get involved in this case. Why would you not want to get involved in this case? Because remember, we're talking about where one of the personalities is very tough. So what is the Dayan afraid of? Shema nischayev, chozok. Maybe the chozok, the one who's very strong, is going to end up being found guilty and is going to make my life a misery. The nimtza chozok roidfoy. He's going to be roid of me. He's going to hassle me. He's going to chase me up. He's going to put pressure on me to reverse my psak. So who needs this? So this is a chiddush. I might have said, listen, if your job is to be a dayon and two people turn up to Bezdin, then you've got to take the rough with the smooth. No. If I have not yet heard their various claims, or I have heard, but at this point, it's totally unclear to me which direction this is going. It's my prerogative as the dayon to say, I'm not attending to this case because I'm afraid of the one who's got a very, very tough personality. And if he does that, he's going to make my life a misery if I end up finding him guilty. However, Misha Tishma Divrehen. Once, however, you have heard their claims, Va'ata Yoidea Leheichon Hadin Noita, and you can see which way this is going, meaning that what? You've heard the claim of the softer personality. You've heard the claim of the tougher personality, and you can see that actually who's going to end up being right? The softer personality, which means that you know full well you're going to have to incriminate this tough guy. Well, now it's too late to back down. Says the Gemara, I'm sorry. I ata yochoy loymar lohem. Now you cannot say to them, quote unquote, eini nizkak lochem, that I'm not attending to you. Shenema loy soguru mipnei ish. Loy soguru mipnei ish, translated, do not be afraid of a man. If that's your conviction that this is going to be the psak, then the fact that he might take it badly and make your life a misery, don't be afraid of him. As long as you haven't come to the psak, either because you haven't even heard their claims or because you have heard their claims, but I can't see which way this is going. So it's my prerogative to say, listen, I don't want to make my life a misery. But once I've heard the claims and I can see in which direction this is going, you've got to be a man. Lois soguru mipneish.
Why can't we use that pasuk as a basis for him not withdrawing? In other words, in the first case
right,
where he hasn't heard everything, you can use the same pasuk and say, don't be afraid.
Yeah, but it's not a chiyuv because I'm not a chiyuv to be a dayan. I'm not mukhuyev to be a dayan, even if that's my official position. You're right, I could evoke lo yisagur, I'm not mukhuyev to. But once I've reached my psak, even though I haven't issued the verdict, it's too late. Have a look at Rashi.
Wouldn't you think it would be the other way?
One second, let's just see Rashi. Kosher. First word on the line, kosher. Baal merivo, Rashi says. What's a Baal merivo?
He's argumentative.
He's an argumentative guy. And therefore, matriach dayonim. He hassles dayonim. He's not going to accept this psak lying down. And in the event that he turns out to be guilty, he's going to be matriach me. Shemo Yischayev Chozok, says the next Rashi, v'nimtza roidfoy. What does it mean he's roidfoy? He's going to pursue me. Roideif es hadayon. He's going to try and pursue the dayon. Lahafeich es hadin, to reverse the judgment. Therefore, who needs this hassle? Who needs this headache? But once I can see in which direction the psak is going, that's it. Lo yisoguru mipi'ish.
If they're trying to get him to be a man, the bechavot, I mean, this, you know, like the dayan, you don't be intimidated by an argumentative person. So you would think that, especially if you know he's guilty, then you really, you know what I mean, that then you really are afraid that he's going to come after you. So from the beginning, they should have said to him, no, it's not relevant. You have to stand up for the din. Well, I don't understand. I don't. Yeah, but I don't understand why knowing what the din is in your mind should change the fact whether you have to stand up or not stand up.
Because now you know the MS. Once you know the MS, you can't back out because you've got personal cheshbonus. If I don't yet know the MS, as far as I'm concerned, this case has not yet been launched, either because they haven't staked their claims, or even if they have, but I cannot see any difference between the two. So the case hasn't been launched. I'm allowed to take my personal considerations onto the interfactor. But once I've considered the case and I see where the psak is going, now you're mukhayev to paskal. Now you're mukhayev to paskal. By the way, one could ask really a simple question. If we're discussing a dayan who quite understandably is being intimidated by a tough personality, then why are we talking about a case where one of them is soft and one of them is tough? L'chaira, the exact same would be true if both of them are tough. In fact, if both of them are tough, I would say it's even worse. If both of them are tough, well, who wants to get involved in the case? It's a lose-lose situation. Whatever I paskin, somebody's going to be upset with me. I'm going to be raided.
Because there might be a gear where he'd say, I'm going to side with the tough guy because I don't want to be hassled.
Oh, so one second. So have a look at Tosfos. Have a look at Tosfos. It's the second last Tosfos on the Amud. V'nimtza chozok roidfe. By the way, I might need to stop in a second. I think I can hear thunder and lightning. So if I make a brocha, I don't want to be mafsik. So if I just have to stop, I'm sitting next to a window. I don't know if you can see on your screen. Over here, there's a window right here. So if I see thunder and lightning, I'm going to make a brocha. Okay. So says Tosfos, Z'nimtza chozok roidfe. Pirush ledayon. What does it mean, roid? He's going to be roid of the dayan, not he's going to be roid of the contending party, the other litigant. He's going to be roid of the part, the other dayan. K'demuchach bosar hochi, as you see later on in the Gemara. Now, ho de nokat, says Tosfos, echod rach, quote unquote. Why did the Gemara mention that one of them is a weak nature, soft nature? Why is that relevant? Surely the exact same would be true, maybe even more so, if both of them are tough. Why are we only designing a scenario in which one of them is tough and one of them is rach? So this is a very interesting svara. She'im hoyu shneihem chazokim. Because if indeed both of them would be a tough personality, actually I would be less afraid. Because then hasheni hoyo mesayoi. Well, then the second one will help me out. So if both of them are tough, I'm not so worried, because what's the worst case? One of them is going to again become guilty, obviously. He might be very upset with me, but at least the other one, who's a tough guy, is going to defend me. So that's not the problem. The problem is only when one of them is a soft nature and one of them is tough. So if the tough-natured fellow ends up losing, so I've got nobody to stand up for me. Who's going to help me? The soft nature is a weakling. So that's when I need to say, you've got to either be scared or not scared, etc., etc.
Why wouldn't they say that the reason it doesn't work for two tough guys is because I'm screwed either way? When it's one tough and one weak, my nature is to say, you know, I better side with the tough guy because I'm afraid he's going to hurt me. But if it's two tough guys, I'm either way I get screwed, so it's not even an issue.
Okay, yeah, good shot. Says the Gemara.
Ready?
Why does you're on mute?
Why doesn't the Gemara say that the reason he's concerned with the tough guys is that it may actually influence his psak at the end of the day?
Is there thunder in Ramah Aleph as well at the moment?
Yes, exactly the same time.
Oh, wow.
Tell me, can I, the second, right.
I didn't see lightning yet, okay.
Right. So you can say that Shikoko Grosso without seeing the lightning. I once heard somebody tell me that you should see the lightning.
Yeah, no, it's just, I think it's a bit of a mistaken aloha. the poskim say you've got to see lightning first in order to make a bracha, only in order to be assured that the thunder really is thunder.
Correct.
If I hear a big crash outside, how do I know it's thunder? Maybe it's just a an accident or something. But if I see it followed up by lightning, then I know it's thunder. But when it's clearly thunder, because you know you're in the middle of a thunderstorm, then you can make a bracha on the thunder as well.
I always remember Dan Lopian on interrupting his drosha on Shabbos morning to say the bracha.
This is quite a regular occurrence in England where it rains the whole time. Yeah. I'll call upon him. Yeah, so it's a good point, Ramesh Hussain. It's a good point. That if you'd be afraid of the tough guy, you might think that that's going to influence your psak. And that may well be the chiddush over here. Yeah, good point. Good point.
Or you can go in the other direction. You could be so concerned that you're going to be leaning towards the other guy that you might subconsciously lean towards the soft guy. Because right. I think that maybe my sock is really because I'm afraid of the guy, so I'm leaning towards the soft guy. Either way, you're not getting you don't have a fair mind.
Yeah, it's one of the biggest, I can tell you, it's one of the biggest challenges of paskening shailas. The paskening shaila, especially when very often who are you paskening for? You're paskening shailas for people in your community, people you know, people you spend a lot of time with. And on occasion, obviously, sometimes you have to come against them. Or against them is the wrong word, but you've got to come down with a psak which might not necessarily be accepted well, and you've got to take yourself and your negias out of the picture.
Why don't they talk about gvirim? You know, it's right. Another thing. If a guy's bringing a lot of money to the shul, and you're back of your mind, you're afraid that if I go against him, he's not going to give you the money.
Correct. It's very hard. In fact, just last night, I had a difficult case over here, and I had to try and be lenient for a number of reasons, and eventually I was able to be mekel. And the shoyl said to me afterwards, he said to me, "Oh, thank you so much for being mekel." I said, "Don't thank me. I wasn't doing it as a chesed. I'll be mekel because I think that's the correct psak. Don't thank me." Like I said yesterday, Rav Davidovich always told me that sometimes even if you tell somebody that you're chayev or it's osa or tmeo, you should thank you exactly the same. You want to know the emes. You want to know the emes. But you're quite right. There are occasions in which, I'm not sure if the Gemara is going to discuss it here, but it's actually a sugya in Ksubas, where the Dayan is disqualified for paskening for reasons like this. Right? If he happens to be your greatest donor to your shul, then you're disqualified for paskening his shailas because clearly you have an agenda, you have a bias. If you pasken against him, then he might stop supporting your shul or your koel, etc.
I think isn't there a case even where a guy brings vegetables to a dayan on Shabbos? And
very good, yeah. The Gemara in Ksubas talks about a dayan who had a field, and a worker used to bring him food once a week from the field. And on one occasion, he brought it a little bit earlier, which is a big chesed, I had food early, and he said, "That's it, I'm disqualified from judging because I have that akoras atov to you because you brought my food earlier and things were ready." Yes, it's a very, 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 very thin line, very narrow line. One has to be very careful to pass without any negius, which is not an easy thing.
This is Bosak in the Torah, isn't it? Not to accept it.
Correct. Lisikach Shoichad. Okay, back into the Gemara. Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcho, we're at the end of the fourth wide line. Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcho, minayin letalmid sheyeshev lifnei rabbi. Imagine you have a Talmud who's sitting in front of his master, the Rebbe. V'ro'o, and the Talmud sees, zchus lo'oni, v'choyva lo'oshir. So he watches his Rebbe paskin. Now, like you said before, when you have a wealthy person can be very prominent and difficult personality, difficult to paskin against. So the Talmud is watching this unfold. Rashi explains, as we'll see in a minute, that the Dayan happens at the moment to be leaning in the favor of the Oshir. The Talmud is sitting there, doing Shemesh, for example, and he thinks to himself, one moment, why is my Rebbe coming down on the side of the Oshir? I actually have a counterclaim, and I would think that the Oshir is actually Chayev. And it's the Oni who's Potter. Is he allowed to now interrupt? Says the Gemara, Minayin Shelo Yishtoik. How do you know that he should not keep silent? Rather, he should offer his opinion and say, excuse me, Rebbe, I think you're making a mistake. And I think actually that the Oshir is Chayev. Shenemar Loi Soguru again Mipneish. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Even if it means you're going to have to incriminate the Oshir, who's a very prominent, dignified gentleman, you've got to say what you think is the truth.
It isn't Pshat not to be afraid to speak in front of your Rebbe if you think he's making a mistake. Not to be.
So Rashi is going to point this out. Loi Soguru Mipnei Ish L'Chayra is talking about, don't be afraid of the repercussions of paskening this way, that way. But we're discussing something else. We're discussing, is it his prerogative to argue with the Rebbe? Where do you see in the pasuk of Loi Soguru Pi'ish that don't be afraid of arguing with your Rebbe? That's a different discussion. Until this point, we're talking about don't be afraid of the person that you are paskening against. But that's not our discussion. So look at Rashi. Rashi says, Sheyoyishev lifnei raboi. Ubo din lifnei raboi. So the din comes to his rav, v'lo lefonov, not to him. So he's not the judge. Rather, he's just sitting there as an innocent bystander. However, v'ro ha-talmid z'chus la'oni. The Talmud now sees I've got a claim in favor of the Oni. V'choyva la'oshir, and I consider the Oshir to be guilty. V'raboy toye badin. And he sees that his Rav is making a mistake. Says Rashi, minayin, how do I know? Shaloi yachloik kovoid l'raboy. How do I know that he's not mukhuyev to accord honor to his Rebbe v'yishtoik by remaining silent? Talmud loimar, etc., etc. Says Rashi, Ula kamon mefarish, later on we're going to explain in Daf Zayin, my mashma de loisoguru, quote unquote, loshen kinus hu. Where do you see in loisoguru? Until this point, how did we translate Lo Soguru? Do not be afraid. Do you remember in Parashas Bolok? It says, Vayogor. They were afraid of Klal Yisrael. Yogor is to be afraid. So Lo Soguru Mipnei Ish means do not afraid. But now, in our Gemara, clearly we're translating it differently. This is not a question of being afraid or not afraid. Rather, this is an issue of, am I allowed to interrupt my Rebbe or not? So Rashi is rightfully bothered, as you asked from Moshe Zedek, where do I see that connotation in the pasuk? If you just translated Lo Soguru, do not be afraid, this is not a question of being afraid or not afraid. This a question is, am I mechuyev to be mechabed my Rebbe or not? So where do I see in the posuk of Lois Soguru that I do not have to be mechabed my Rebbe, and rather I've got to say what I think? So Rashi says, you have to wait patiently to Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, and we'll see how the Gemara will prove it there.
Isn't he also being choshed, his Rebbe, are being influenced by the rich guy? Otherwise they wouldn't mention it to be rich or poor. It's not just they got a mistake in the din. He's actually being choshed, his Rebbe, that he's being influenced by the rich guy. It's a big to-do.
Yeah, so it's a good point. Why did the Gemara have to mention the ones in Oshir, ones in Oni? Why can't the Gemara simply say that if the Talmud is sitting there watching his Rebbe, and as far as he's concerned, the Rebbe's making a mistake, so it's the Talmud's prerogative to say, I'm sorry, Rebbe, you're wrong. What's the difference whether one's in Oshir and Oni? Okay, we'll see.
No, because he's being choshed that the Rebbe's being influenced.
Right, we'll see. So that's what Rashi is pointing out. How do you know that Lois Soguru is Loshen Kinus? Kinus means like to enter. How do you know you're allowed to enter the Rebbe's discussion and butt in? You're allowed to intervene and say, whoa, 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 excuse me, I just want to add that, no, I think you're making a mistake. Where do you see that in the pasuk? So Rashi says, Olakam on mefarish. So we'll wait patiently until then. Says the Gemara, Rav Chanan Oimer, Rav Chanan Oimer, Loi Sachnis Dvorecho Mipnei Ish. Literally translated, Loi Sachnis Dvorecho, do not enter your words Mipnei Ish. Now, how do they translate that with you, Rabbi Yosef, in your Gemara?
Yes, very Mipnei Ish.
Loi Sachnis Dvorecho, do not enter your words. What was this referring to?
Withhold.
I found it very hard, that one. I can't find the thing.
Do not withhold.
Do not withhold?
Yeah.
In other words, loy soguru, this is the hemshech of the Gemara we just saw. Loy soguru mepneish, do not withhold your words in front of the Rebbe. And that's what Rashi is pointing out. How do you see that connotation in the pasuk? Okay, keep on going. The yihu edim Yoidim, the Edim have to know, Es Mihein Meidim, about whom they're testifying, Velifnei Mihein Meidim, and in front of whom are they testifying, Umi Osid Lipora Mehen, and who will in the future seek retribution from them. Shenema, Va'omdu shnei ho'anoshim, the two people, meaning the witnesses, would have to stand up, asher lohem hariv, lifnei Hashem. In other words, when you're testifying, one has to realize what's being involved over here. Look at Rashi. Es mihein me'idin, ki ilu hein me'idin ba'akodesh baruch hu. You think you're testifying about Reuven, or about Shimon, you're not. You're, as it were, testifying about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because the Omer Lakamon, as the Gemara is going to say much later on in Daf Ches, Shematrichin Oisoi Lahachzir Momoin Leba'alov. You are, as it were, being matriach, Kaviyochel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to restore money, to send money from one to another. Reuven and Shimon have come to Beis Din. You're testifying against Reuven, the Reuven's going to have to pay. In other words, you're kilu, dictating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, where this money should end up. Ultimately, as it were, you are testifying about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says Rashi, Va'omdu shnei o anoshim asher lohem hariv. Who are these two people? V'okminon b'mesechta shvuas. We explain this in mesechta shvuas to mean be'edim. Hakosav medaber. The Torah is talking about Edim, and what does it say in that posuk? Lifnei Hashem. You are testifying about Hashem. You are testifying in front of Hashem. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who will seek retribution if your edus is incorrect.
Rabbi, if everything obviously is under Hashem, 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 so wouldn't the Rebbe in the other case, who's the Dayan, want his Talmud to point out if he made a mistake? Because more than his, well, thank you so much for pointing it out to me. I almost made a huge mistake.
But the halachas have been meira halacha b'fnei rabbi, although we did point out that when the rav is making a mistake and you're avoiding afrushi mi isura, then it'll be permitted. But we're going to come back to this. Says the Gemara. So you have this pasuk. Va'omdu shtei o'anoshim asher lohem hariv lifnei Hashem. Underline the words lifnei Hashem because that's the emphasis. The emphasis is that the Edim have to realize that this is all going on lifnei Hashem. This is extremely serious. Not only that, that is all a warning to the Edim. Now says the Gemara, v'yu dayonim. Now so to the dayonim also have to take this extremely seriously. They have to know who are they judging, and in front of whom are they judging, and so too, who might well have to seek retribution from them, Shenema Elohim Nitzov Ba'adas Keil. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, is there present at the time of the Mishpat. V'chein b'Yoshafot, so too in Yoshafot, it says, V'yomer el ha-shoftim, ru'u ma'atim oisim. Look what you are doing. Ki lo'y lo'odom tishpetu, ki la'shem. Ki la'shem. Shemo yomer ha-dayon. So if that's the case, why would any dayon want to get involved? If you're telling me that I'm judging people and I'm judging HaKadosh Baruch Hu and I'm being made HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and if I make a mistake, he's going to seek retribution, well, who needs this? Who needs this? Maybe the dayan will say, Ma li b'tzar hazeh. What do I need this tzar for? You're telling me it's such a serious job. If I make a mistake, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will seek retribution, so I'd rather open up a pizza shop. Why do I want to be a dayan? Every shaila that I'm paskening could be a major mistake. Talmud loymar imchem bedvar mishpat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says imchem, I'm with you. Ein loy ledayon elo ma she'enov royos. The only thing that the dayan can possibly base his case on is what his own eyes see. So listen.
Why not also what he hears? Why is the Gemara only specifically said in terms of what he sees?
That's what it means. It's all included. Meaning you can only paskin based on the information that you know. So therefore you don't have to be worried, hey, Gebalt, I'll make a mistake because it turns out they were hiding something from me and they were tricking me and there was some other matter. You only have to paskin in accordance with the information that you know. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will help you. As long as you base your psak on the information you know, you'll be fine.
Would not the same apply to Edim? I mean, even more so. And Edim would have every reason to say,
right,
I don't want to get involved.
Correct. Correct. So, have a look at Rashi.
Too much responsibility.
Right. Have a look at Rashi. De'ein lo'y ledayon, towards the bottom of the Omud. Lore. He doesn't need to be afraid. Vilimnoya atzmoy min adin, to refrain from paskining adin, elo lafi ma she'en of reis. Leidon, that's how he's going to judge. V'yischavein lohitzioi letzidkoi ula'amitoi. An amazing gewaldiger Rashi, that he has to just be mischaven to be moitzi, the din, the emes. This is the information, this is the edus, these are the facts, v'shuv le'yonesh, after that he will not be punished. And everybody knows countless stories of how a dayon or a poisa gets siyata d'shmaya. Maybe we'll just finish off with a wonderful story. This is brought in the Tshuvas Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer writes that I'm aware of a story that goes as follows. Now, he does not say who the Rav is, but it's commonly reported that the Rav that he's talking about is actually his own Rebbe, the Baal HaFlo, and he didn't want to write his name. He said, a Rav, who was actually his own Rebbe, was asked the following shaila. There was a very large pot of milk bubbling on the flame, boiling hot, and a chicken flew in and landed splat in the milk, boiling hot. They took out the chicken, and then they came to ask the Rav, what's the halacha of the milk? So the Rav paskin, well, a chicken is basar. This is cholov. There was no shishim. So it's basar b'cholov. I'm sorry, everything is osa to eat. You have to throw it all out. As we know, Bosa B'cholov is not only Osa B'achila, it's Osa B'hano'o. The whole thing has to be thrown out. All of a sudden, they realized, Ey Gevalt, he's made a terrible, embarrassing mistake. Because Bosa B'cholov, which is Osa B'hano'o, that's true, but it's only when it's the meat of an animal. But when it's the meat of a bird, even though it's Osa to eat, but it's Mutter B'hano'o. So why on earth did he paskin that it's got to be thrown out? They could have sold it to a guy and made good money from it. And all of a sudden they realized, one moment, he's right for the wrong reason. Because if the bird flew in whilst it was alive, then forget the halachas of Basa B'cholov. What absorptions does the meat have in it? The bliyos of Eva Minachai. And Eva Minachai is also not only for a Jew, but also for a non-Jew. So the Chasam Sofer writes, it was clear that that's not what the Rav had in mind in the beginning. But he writes, a Pesach has special Shmira from HaKadosh Baruch Hu not to make a mistake in Din. Therefore, even though he paskened, it's got to be thrown out, it was clear he meant because of Hilchas Basa B'cholov. But Lemaisa, he was right for the wrong reason. It's not because of Basa B'cholov, it's because of Eva Menachai.
Rabbi, if you have a question, let's say, that's not a halacha, you're trying to find the right direction in life, and your Rav is a real Talmud Chacham, a real tzaddik, and you're going there because you just don't know, and therefore, can you say, whatever this guy says to me, whatever the Rav says to me, this is from Hashem. So I'm not here to say, well, maybe he was right, maybe he was wrong. I'm asking him, I can be sure that Hashem is directing.
It's a very good question. I can only tell you from personal experience in a few seconds that we have left over. Obviously, every Rav has to be able to say, I don't know, and I'm unable to paskin. A Rav who's unable to say that cannot be a Rav. And yet at the same time, I know I've been involved in cases where I could not say that because I knew they had nowhere else to turn to. And I felt literally that I had siyata d'shmaya to help even in areas that perhaps I'm not really proficient enough, because I knew HaKadosh Baruch Hu would help me.
Especially if you have a relationship with the Rav. He's your guy. He knows your life. He knows. And you say, what do you think, Rabbi? Should I do this? Should I do this? What does it mean? Right. So if he says to you, I don't know, you try. But if he says, I think you're in the right direction, you could say that's Hashem telling you.